When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This past week, as I scrolled through my Facebook feed, a picture called out to me. And so I stopped and I looked and I just lost myself in the scene. The picture showed a little girl a bit over 2 years old, and she was putting an ornament on her Christmas tree. Everything about that picture is perfect. A barefoot toddler stands on tiptoe. Her arm reaches as high as she can lift it. Her body leans somehow over a pile of beautifully wrapped packages underneath the tree, each a testimony to a family's love for one another. And her face reflects the glow from the lights on the tree. The two-year-old's name is Alice, a child that I've not yet met. Alice's mother was herself a child when I first met her some 23 years ago. Her own parents, dear friends, and wonderful members of the congregation I served in Nashville so many years ago. But there was something about that picture that took me back. I suspect you've had something happen like that. Maybe you've pulled a grandchild close beside you, seated together on the couch, and you flipped through a photo album showing your grandchildren pictures from Christmases long, long ago, when you were younger and your children were even younger than your grandchildren are now. Or maybe it happened when you pulled out a box of old Christmas cards that's been lying around your house for decades, and when you stopped for one day to go through them and you opened a card and a picture fell out. And when you picked it up, you stared at the image there in your hand for you don't know how long, just lost in some memory that stirred your heart as if it were happening again in that moment. Or maybe you were walking through a crowded store or driving alone in your car when a song came on the radio. And when you heard it playing, it was as if the music lifted you from where you were in that moment and took you back to another time, to another voice singing the song that you're listening to now. For my cousin Jane, memories of Christmases past are triggered, she says, by the special foods and treats that only showed up during Christmas. Making grandmother's boiled custard and special cookies, she writes, always take me back to her house during the holidays, even though she and the house have been gone for years. But making those treats now, my cousin says, allows my heart to travel through time. And you know what that's like, how some picture or melody or taste can blur every line between past and present, and you're back in that place, among those people, when things seem to make sense, when Christmas was Christmas, and when the world seemed to slow down long enough for you to know and be known, to love and be loved. Luke's Christmas story works that way for me. I can read or hear a single phrase from Luke's story, and it's as if Luke takes me by the hand and drags me right into the story. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus. And we're there with Mary and Joseph as they make their hard journey to Bethlehem. Or in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And we're there in the fields with those shepherds, staring into that dark night sky, suddenly filled with the splendor of God. And they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And by simply hearing those words, we're among the animals and the shepherds standing around Mary and Joseph and their newborn son. And none of us knows what to do except Mary. And so there we are, standing beside her as she treasures all the words and ponders them in her heart. And I think that's about the best you can do when we're swept into the story of good news of a great joy for all people, that a Savior has been born. About the best we can do is to treasure the story and to ponder it in our hearts. Only we do that not simply to experience all the feels, just to go back on some nostalgic journey to a simpler time that in truth was nowhere as simple as we remember it to be, or as perfect as we wanted it to be. No Christmas, not even the first one, was ever perfect. Except it was perfect in the way God makes things perfect, which is by taking our feeble efforts and covering them with grace, the kind of grace that came to life in Jesus Christ. And maybe the point isn't just going back to stay there, but rather to go back to begin again. I think that's why so many of us long for this night. This night when we can gather here for the first time or the 100th time, to gather with our whole heart believing or with our hearts shattered in a million pieces, to gather here with all the faith in the world or to have come with nothing more than some glimmer of hope that you might somehow discover once more what you once believed. All I know is that standing here among you, hearing your voices around me, seeing the light shining in the darkness, well, something happens. And you can call it wishful thinking if you want. You can tell me it's nothing but a fairy tale story of a non-existent dream. But for me, when I hear you sing, and when I see your faces reflecting the light that you hold to scatter the darkness, you remind me once more that nothing is impossible for God. And I need that reminder this year. And I've listened to enough people around me to know that maybe some of you need that reminder as well. Do you need to remember that God has the power to set things right? Do you need to remember that no matter how dark it may seem or how long the night, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness shall never overcome the light? Do you need to remember that goodness is stronger than evil, that love is stronger than hate, that light is stronger than darkness and life is stronger than death? There's just so much pain, so much hurt, so much anger, so much fear, so much death stalking us these days that it's almost impossible not to get sucked into the vortex of despair, that place where you begin to wonder whether even God has the power to do anything about that. You know, I saw that thing, that very thing happen on Facebook earlier this week. Someone shared some words from an old Christmas song called My Grown-Up Christmas List. Many of you may remember the words from that song. They say, no more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. That's my grown-up Christmas list. Now I gotta say, my list would be a little bit different. It might hold some of the same hopes, that forgiveness could be found, that relationships reconciled, that no one would go hungry, no one would be without shelter, that justice and mercy and love would fill every human heart, that differences would no longer divide us. It's different words, but it's the same dream for me and for you and for the world. But you know, I suspect if I were to share those words, I would hear the same thing that the one who shared the original words of that song heard, and the only comment that that Facebook post got was simply this: good ideas, but very unrealistic, unfortunately. Unrealistic. Maybe so. Maybe hoping for those things is hoping for the impossible. But you know, I don't think it is. I think it's hoping for the very things God has promised to do in Jesus Christ. For if this story is the story that we believe it to be, if it's the story of God loving the world enough to be born into it, of God drawing near to set things right, of God showing up here with power to save, of God sending the light into the world which no darkness shall ever overcome, then this story is a story that not only warms our hearts, but it stirs them to a deeper love for God and for one another. And I guess I just want to say, thanks for being part of the story. And thanks for bearing the light into the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.